The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined this week for our Thursday interview by presenter Shivani Rourke to discuss her new podcast, Labour of Love. You're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder.
Gairmila Magath, Ciara, thanks for having me.
I mean, I was going to ask what the inspiration is for the podcast, and I don't like to say to somebody, are you pregnant by any chance? But I'm pretty sure no, you are.
It's okay. It's a pretty prominent bump now. I'm 34 weeks today, actually. So yeah, I've been really lucky. I've had a great pregnancy journey, but I did realise when I started out that we're just bombarded with information. It's a barrage, you know? It's from your friends, your family, your colleagues, people who are really well-meaning, but all with things that worked for them that mightn't work for you. And that's not even going near social media, because Instagram, I think Instagram knew before my mom knew. Like, it was just straight out the gate.
Constant. That algorithm could see what you were searching.
Totally, totally. Like, thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. And and what I found on social media was, you know, you're getting all these 30, 60 second clips and I'm saving them. I'm sending them to my partner. I'm like, we must do this or else the child be like this. And I'm like, I don't know if these people are actually qualified to be telling me this stuff. And I was taking it for gospel. So I was like, you know what? I need to talk to professionals. I need to curate this information. I want to gather it together. And that's what prompted me to do the podcast. So it's 6 episodes. It's a mini series. 6 topics that I think are really important in pregnancy in Ireland. And that's where I did.
And do you know what? I have the sense that there's actually a follow-up to this, and that's called the first 3 months of motherhood, which is equally as overwhelming.
I think so. A newborn kind of mini series as well, which I hadn't really been thinking of, but now
we're pitching it.
Yeah. Well, like the minefield that is breastfeeding. And like, I don't really think that I would do breastfeeding justice right now, because I've had no experience with it. While I'm pregnant, I can talk about pregnancy. I can't talk to breastfeeding or sleep training or anything like that right now. So yeah, maybe in the new year, once baby arrives, well, I'll give myself a few weeks off.
I mean, we're joking here, but it can be a little overwhelming, can't it?
Yeah, they say 86% of women are overwhelmed with the amount of pregnant women are overwhelmed with the amount of information that there is out there around pregnancy. And like, you know, there's all these really well-meaning kind of like WhatsApp groups and Facebook groups and your friends and your family, but it all becomes quite conflicting. And especially, as I said, some things work for some people, and some people have an ethos and an approach to things that just isn't you, you know? And it's kind of like, where do you draw the line, and where do you say, oh, this is pertinent, this is not pertinent? There's too much, you know?
And a lot of people can be quite militant with the advice that they're offering, mm-hmm. can't they? You know, as you say, people who have a certain ethos or a certain attitude yeah. towards how you should behave when you're pregnant,
yeah.
what you should be consuming, mm-hmm. whether it's food or drink, hours you should be working. You know, they're quite black and white, and that can nearly be aggressive at times.
Absolutely. And especially when it comes to talking about the birth, that's what I found people have been the most stringent on, you know? And like I said, everyone's births are very personal, but like, people have been telling me, that's where I've gotten the most advice on, you know, about what to do, what not to do, what definitely not to do. And I'm kind of like, I think I can do this myself, like, you know.
So that's your new attitude. I'm just going to sort of silence all the noise and try to speak with experts. And have you found that reassuring?
Totally, absolutely, you know. And like, from some of the stuff online, like it's trends, you know. I'll give an example. I did an episode with an amazing women's health expert and fertility and pregnancy dietitian, and I asked her, I was like, you know, per my Instagram, I should be inhaling dates and drinking raspberry leaf tea like it's going out of fashion all through my third trimester to make my birth easier. Like, the amount of content I've gotten with those specific ingredients, honestly, I thought that it must be evidence-based, and there actually isn't that much evidence to support that, though, like, that they do help you. There is some for dates, there's not as much for raspberry leaf tea. And it was just so helpful to speak to someone, and they were like, and definitely don't go near castor oil, which I had heard as well can help you in, you know, go into labour. And it's just mental, the stuff that we're consuming versus the actual advice.
As in the trained professional medical advice. Mm. Yeah, we get all of that. Was pregnancy what you expected it to be?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I've been very fortunate, Ciara. I've had a really nice pregnancy so far, and I thought it was going to be a bit tougher, I'll be honest. And I've just found it really nice, you know. Now, this week, I feel really pregnant this week. I got the bus yesterday and I got a stitch while sitting on the bus, not running for the bus, not walking for the bus, but sitting on the bus. So maybe my time has come. The tide is turning on me. But no, it's actually been really, really nice.
So that's not necessarily what you were expecting. And I think it's actually really important sometimes to put that message out there,
yeah.
isn't it? It you know, you hear all of the horror stories.
Yes.
But you don't hear that it's actually quite pleasant yeah. for some people.
Or even like, think of like the movies and the TV shows that we consumed, you know, when all through the 90s, it's all women, they're holding their back and they're groaning and they're complaining about this and they're complaining about that. And like, yeah, of course, there are a huge amount of bodily changes that happen. But like, it's also gorgeous. Like, you're growing a new person inside of you. It's this really special experience that allows you to bond with people as well who've gone through it themselves and friends who are going through it at the same time. I have found it to be a really connecting experience for me.
How has it affected your mood, your personality, do you think? Or has it?
I did cry this week when my husband said my banana bread was a bit dry. I did shed a few tears. Yeah. Now, he wasn't wrong. I changed my recipe and my last one was usually, my other one's better. But for the most part, I don't think that I've changed that much. You know, like, I know there's a lot of hormonal changes, but well, do you know what? Maybe I'll ask my husband. He might say something different.
Says poor gal who's been walking around on eggshells for 7 months, afraid to comment on anything. I mean, to be honest with you, gal, pregnant or not pregnant, dry banana bread, like, don't go there.
No, there was no
don't
need.
Don't care. The effort
you.
Was made.
Thank you, Kira. Thank
we
you.
Do not need that commentary. I mean, you did a documentary years ago for TG Cahar. Do you remember that? The Adranimus Corp.
Yeah.
Where you talked about body issues and beauty standards. Mm-hmm. How have you felt about those through pregnancy?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I kind of feel during pregnancy, you're kind of freed from the shackles of the societal beauty standards. You know, you don't have to have a flat stomach. You're allowed, and I say that with quotation marks, put on some weight. And I hope, I have found it a very freeing experience that I'm not looking at my body in terms of aesthetics, but I'm looking at it in terms of taking care of it and what it's doing and what it's capable of. And I really hope, now I've been trying to kind of move away from, you know, trying to fit into beauty standards for years, but I hope that this will kind of radicalize me even more. And after my pregnancy, that I'll be able to hold on to that and focus on the function of my body and not the, like I said, the looks of my body. Like, it is, but at the same time, like, your body's changing every day. Like, every single day, there's a new stretch mark. There's an inch added to the circumference of your nipple, you know, like, it's crazy the stuff that happens. But I'm kind of trying to accept them and celebrate them almost. But I suppose, like, I have been, since I did that documentary, very aware of the pressures that society places on us. I also have to say that, like, I'm quite fortunate in that I'm like a straight-sized white woman that, like, doesn't come under as much scrutiny as other people in society as well. So I'm enjoying it and I'm trying to embrace it.
And motherhood is something you have always wanted.
Yeah. Like, when I was really young, My mom used to do this in front of her friends. She'd be like, ask her what she wants to be when she grows up. And they'd ask me and I'd say, I want to be a mammy. So from like 5 or 6, I used to say that. So I've been very career focused and very ambitious in the last few years as well. But it was definitely always something that was in the pipeline for me. Yeah, I could always see it. You know, I've always wanted it. I'm really excited. Yeah.
And I can tell you're excited. And it's lovely to speak to somebody who's so excited about it. As somebody then who is career focused, as you say, and has worked very hard at their career, how do you feel about stepping back and stepping away from that for a period of time?
Yeah, I might be naive in thinking that, like, you know, I'll go back after a couple of months or I'll start dipping my toe back into some of the self-employed stuff and do a gig here and there. The truth is, I don't know how it's going to be and I can't know until I'm in the situation myself, you know. I would love to think that I could do it all and juggle it all, but I think that that's a very green view of it. You know, like, it does take a village and like something kind of has to give, because like even now, like, I didn't have that much free time and now I'm going to have a complete other human to take care of. So I think it would be silly of me to think that I can go back all guns blazing and nothing change. But I think that it'll be a sacrifice worth making for a few years and then I'll get the time back, you know, in time to come, and I can refocus on my career then. It's just a different chapter.
It's just a step out rather than a step away.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I don't know. How did you find it?
Oh, I think taking your time out, if you can afford it, not everybody can. Yeah. But to me, it was absolutely invaluable.
Yeah.
I took longer with my second child than I did with my first child because I really realised second time around, oh, this is such a brief period of time. Yeah. I'm going to be working for 50 years, hopefully. And if I'm judged for taking 6 or 9 months off, well, then society, we haven't moved on far enough. So
yeah,
my vote is always take your time. But
okay,
I appreciate,
I'll take that on board.
I appreciate that that's actually not possible for everybody. You do have your job with Conradh na Gaeilge, right? Mm-hmm. So you have your set piece, your PAYE work. And then you have all of your other work, including your podcast, Aida Gael, which has been a real passion project, I would imagine, and has been really successful. Do you feel that you and your co-presenters have really played a part in the resurgence of the Irish language here? And do you feel proud of that?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know if I would attribute any of the surge to How to Gael. I do think that we create the podcast at a time where there was an appetite 100% for more Irish language or dual language content, you know. So maybe we just started the podcast at the right time, but it's been amazing to see and hear the reaction of people enjoying it. Like, there are people, they're just crying out for more opportunities to interact with the language, whether it's speaking it, listening to it, or meeting people through it, you know. It's amazing, I think, to see this resurgence, or really it's a positive sentiment publicly, right? And there has been negative attitudes towards the language over years. And a lot of that is due to people's negative experience with the language through no fault of their own, through systems that still need to be changed, educational and the rest of them. So it is really heartening to see this positive wave of affection towards a language that had been kind of forgotten or ignored or disregarded for so long. What I would love to see now is people converting that affection to action, because the language still needs support. It needs support financially from the government. Gaeltacht communities need support. They have a housing crisis there, which is impacting the longevity of the language in those areas. And so I would just love to see people not only accepting the language and reclaiming her, but supporting her so that she can, you know, get even, so that, yeah, that it can just keep on going and that the wave keep climbing.
So I know it's going to be spoken in your house then, to 100%. This babog.
Yes. So I was raised bilingually. So the Gaeilge ag mam sualia. So we spoke Irish at home all the time. And I am absolutely planning on doing the same with mine. Yeah. So there's an approach.
Can your husband speak Irish?
He understands everything. He doesn't speak it fluently yet, but he loves it and is very enthusiastic about it. And like, he'll only just get better at it if we're speaking it constantly at home with the posta, you know. There's an approach called one parent, one language, and it's very common where one parent speaks one language to the child and the other parent the other, and you end up with a bilingual child pretty much as soon as they can speak, you know. Like, it's that full immersion. They're sponges.
It's incredible what they can absorb.
Absolutely.
And what they can sort of take in and then regurgitate back out again. And one of the things that you do deal with in your podcast series, In Labour of Love, which I think is really important, is you talk about loss and dealing with loss during pregnancy. You've dedicated one of the podcasts to that, because you've had to deal with awful loss this year, the loss of your sister and your grandmother.
Yeah. So
how has that been?
Yeah, it's been tough. It's kind of like you're juggling excitement and joy and, you know, one of those exciting times of your life, while also coming to terms with the fact that you've lost someone, one of the closest people to you. And it's kind of balancing those emotions and feelings in one brain. Sometimes it's just a very difficult thing to do. I feel guilty. Like, I'm now 33. My sister was 33 when she passed away earlier this year. And I'm like, I'm doing something that she will never get the opportunity to do. And yeah, it's just... like, it's a mishmash of emotions, and it just depending on the day which one comes out on top, you know. So I spoke to the principal clinical psychologist of the Rotunda about this and about, you know, taking care of your mental health during pregnancy, because actually 1 in 4 women will suffer from mental health difficulties during pregnancy, which I had no idea about. You know, we hear about, you know, the physical symptoms and the physical side effects, but not maybe so much the mental and emotional. And she was very helpful actually in saying that, you know, grief is a difficult thing to navigate during pregnancy. And one of the most important things is to, you know, decide how you're going to maintain the story of the person you've lost throughout the child's life. So there'll be lots of pictures, there'll be lots of stories. They'll know who my sister is and my mammo from day dot, you know. But it's been a really tough year.
Extremely tough, because there's three of you, girls, three sisters.
Yeah. And she was the eldest. Yeah.
Extremely close, I would imagine.
Yeah, there was only 16 months between my older sister and I. Yeah, yeah.
So that's been really tough.
Yeah.
To navigate all of this. It's two major milestones in your life.
Yeah, it's been a lot of change. And like, the pregnancy has been healing. You know, it has been healing for, I think, the whole family. You know, it gives us all something to look forward to and something nice to speak about. But it's just always tinged, you know, and like, I suppose our lives will always be tinged because of it.
come back to me in 6 months about the next podcast series and all the extra advice that you're going to get.
Will
but
do.
Enjoy it.
Oh, Gurmeen Avaca,
congratulations.
Thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.